No, it's going to be cool. That's it. Okay, we continue the Gemara Sota 8b. One last part before we get to the next mission. It's all relatively easy Gemara coming up now for the next couple days. Mishnah. The Mishnah said, when we have to embarrass this Sota, and she is compromised in her tznias, it says, whoever wants to see her can see her. And we said, except for her slaves and maidservants, but basically everybody could see her. Everyone's allowed. As the Pasuk says, and all the women shall be chastised and shall not imitate her lewdness. More now asks a question. Hogufakasha. It's the Mishnah seems to be self-contradictory. Why? It says like this. Amarta, you said on the one hand, kol harayitz aliris baroya. Whoever wants to see her can see her. Now, what is whoever wants to see her? Everybody. Would that include men?
Yes.
Men including everybody?
Yes.
Alma, we see loshna gavri, loshna neshe. It doesn't make a difference if it's men or women. Everybody could see her. But then the Mishnah then says, the next sentence says, for hadar tani, then the Mishnah says, kol anoshi mutoras lirosa. All women are permitted to watch her. What does that imply?
Now the men
can say no.
Nashim in, yashim yes, women yes, anashim lo, men not. They're not permitted. You just said everybody who wants to see her can see her. Then it says women are permitted to see her. So that's self-contradictory. Whoever wants to see her, that includes men and women. Then the next says, if women want to see her, they can see her. Well, that means men not. So what's going on?
It doesn't necessarily mean that, Rabbi. It means men are watching and women are also permitted to.
No, no. First it says everyone is permitted.
Why do you have to say that?
Men and women. Men and women. Then it says, and it says anyone who wants, let's, again, the first sentence says whoever wants to see her can see her. That includes everybody. Then it says, if women want to see her, they can see her.
Well,
why are you saying that? That's the contradiction. So Amar Abaye says we have to change the wording of the Mishnah a little bit. Targama Anoshim, interpret the initial ruling when it says whoever wants to see her is only referring to women only. Whoever wants to see her means only women, but then it will be a repetition, though.
Yeah,
according to Abaye, men may not watch the procedure, presumably because they might be aroused to lewd thoughts. Nevertheless, the Kohanim who were present, at least those involved in proceedings, did watch, and it's on account of these Kohanim that Yehuda forbids bearing the bosom of the comely soul, etc., etc. So it's interesting. The Gemara does not. Oh, so but the problem with that interpretation. So then you're saying the same thing twice,
right.
And that's what a Rava asks. Armelay Rava says, "Wait a minute. V'ha'kala reitz aliris ba." Right. First of all, it says whoever wants to see her can see her.
Yeah.
Right. So how can you say it only refers to women? You could have also asked. This is the better question. Then why would it say it twice? Elama Rava. Rava says like this. Whoever wants to see her can see her. Loshna gavri, loshna nashi. Doesn't matter, men or women, everyone can see her. Here's the point he's saying. The next line is saying, v'noshim chayovos liros. So women are must see her. That's what you got to change. Not if they want to. They must see her. Why must they see her? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, and in the Torah, v'nevasru kol anashim. The woman shall be chastised, velo sasana kamosa, not to do like her. Aye, the problem is the Mishnah states women are permitted to watch, meaning to say not that they are obliged to watch. So in other words, so what's going on over here? Because it's contrasting the rule for women with the following ruling, except for her slaves and maidservants. You have to remember the Mishnah said anybody can come except for her slaves and maidservants, because if her slaves or maidservants there, she'll be... She'll resist admitting in front of them. So they are they're forbidden to watch. Slaves and maidservants are forbidden. So in contrast, the slaves and maidservants... So it comes out like this. Whoever wants to see her can see her. That means men and women. Except for slaves and maidservants, those are women that they're forbidden to be there, because then she's going to get chutzpahdik. But then it says, although those women are forbidden, but other women are permitted, meaning not just permitted.
Obligated.
So permitted as opposed to the servants that are not permitted, but really they are obligated. So they but other are permitted, quote unquote, to watch and indeed are commanded to do so. So that's what it comes out. Men are allowed to watch and they don't have to watch. Maidservants are forbidden to be there, and women are obliged to be there. That way they will learn from that.
If they're there.
If they're there. They don't have to make a special trip there. Men are permitted. It said men are permitted. According to Rava, men are permitted. The Mishnah says everyone is permitted except maidservants and slaves. They are forbidden. Everyone else is permitted. And then the next line of the Mishnah says, and women are permitted, meaning to say vis-a-vis the women maidservants who are not, which really means that women are obliged. Everyone's there is obliged to learn a lesson from that. Good?
Does that have it? So that's the explanation for permitted, because the maidservants
are forbidden. So once you're saying one group of women are forbidden, so we're saying the others are permitted as opposed to forbidden. We have to keep the language correct, but really they're obliged, and that's the point he's saying.
Yeah, that's why I'm having trouble with obligated and permitted, because why not use the word obligated then?
Because you want to keep the wording consistent. Remember, Mishnayos were learned by heart. You want to keep the language as consistent as possible. So when you if you're looking at all three together, so whoever wants to see it can see it, because that's including men and women. Okay, and they ought, right, but it's mainly focused on the men part. Then now you said another group's forbidden. Now we say the next group's permitted. We're keeping always the language, you know, permitted versus forbidden as opposed to obliged. Okay, that's why they're keeping that language consistent.
Because
when it said everyone's permitted, that's including men and women, so to speak. Men are not obliged. Since men are not obliged, now, so certain women are forbidden. So as opposed to forbidden, they use permitted. That's why you memorize things better that way. If you're going to throw in a third verb of forbidden, it becomes much harder to memorize things. So remember, they had to memorize this entire thing by heart. So you got to make it a little easier to remember, and then the commentary is as such. Okay, now the Mishnah, new Mishnah, and the Mishnah is basically going to discuss the issue of the issue of measure for measure. Because you're going to see regarding the sota, there's a lot of things that are done for her measure for measure. She behaved in a certain way, therefore she's treated in a certain way. Now this is not, as they say, tit for tat, as we'll see, but generally it's a way that Hashem operates in this world to help us do tshuva. As you'll see in the first sentence, is a generic sentence, but then it becomes very specific. The generic rule of thumb is as follows, as the Mishnah says. B'mida sha'adam modeh, according to the measure with which one measures out one's actions. In other words, the way you behave. We behave using midos, using certain behavioral patterns and characteristics. So the characteristics that you use, and it really is positive or negative, and we'll see, but right now it's focusing on the negative, but it's both ways. So the way you behave, the way you use your midos in a bad way, but in that very same way, modedim lo, Hashem measures for him in return. Okay? In a second, we're going to apply this to a sota. But as the notes explain, in whatever manner one conducts himself, divine judgment deals with him in a similar manner. There is a principle of measure for measure, mida for keneged mida. Our Mishnah, one that follows, gives examples of that principle, beginning with the treatment of the sota. Now, why does God do that? God treats a person this way so that he will recognize that the occurrence was a reward or punishment directed by divine providence. Also, when one sees another person suffering measure for measure for a sin, he will become more careful for his actions. Furthermore, when a person suffers a measure for measure punishment, he is more easily able to determine which misdeed he has committed to cause this particular punishment, and this makes it easier for him to correct himself. In other words, to give an overtly oversimplified example, it doesn't happen that often. If a person has been on the phone for an hour speaking Lashon Hara and wasn't thinking twice about it, he thought everything was fine and dandy. He wakes up the next morning with 11 cold sores on his tongue. He has to wonder, why is Hashem giving me cold sores on my tongue? Must be I did an aver with my tongue that Hashem wants me to do teshuva for. So it's not that God's getting me back, as it were. Oh, you're a bad guy, I'm going to get you back, I'm angry at you. Hashem is trying to show you where you have sinned so that you will do tshuva on it. All right, that's the real point of measure for measure. And Hashem wants us to see, as we'll see by the sota, the way she is mistreated by halacha, it's measure for measure for the things that she has done, exactly the way she has behaved poorly, that's exactly the way that she is punished. So that's a very important rule of thumb. If you're having aches and pains in certain parts of your body, you have to think, maybe Hashem is trying to tell me a message. Okay, it's a person for himself to do the message. It's not for others to tell him that, oh, I think you've been talking Lashon Hara. It's not our business to judge others. It's ourselves to judge, except when the Torah mandates it, such as the Sota, where the Torah biblically is saying it, and is publicly humiliating her, then it's telling ladies, you know, this is why it's happening, because God is telling us to do that. Then we do that. Now we're going to have all kinds of examples of the sota. He kashta kishta es atzul avera. She adorned herself for the sin of avera. Usually when a woman wants to become involved in adultery, she probably dresses up to look real nicely to attract the man, etc., etc. So what does Hashem do? So Hamakom Dam the present Navlo has disgraced her. Okay, that's why she has to appear disheveled. We tear her garment, we braid her hair, and all those things. He gilses atzmalaver. She revealed herself for sin. You have to go out and, you know, with the guy to do that. So Hamakom Gila Alel. So Hashem revealed her sin to all. In other words, how does a woman pick up guys? You go to the bar, you go to a public place, you reveal yourself that you're on the market to do adulterous things. So God causes her to have to stand at the Nicanor Gate, where all the Jews in Yerushalayim by the Beis Hamikdash. It was a very busy place, the Nicanor Gate. There were hundreds of thousands of people going. It's like going to the Koisel. Imagine doing this right now at the Koisel, let's say. Okay? So that's a comparable thing. Next. Now, when a person is engaged in physical intimacy, there are various parts of the body that are first engaged in pleasure, and then second part of the body engaged in pleasure, and third part of the body engaged in pleasure. So now, if the waters come and kill her, so the waters affect the parts of the body first that benefited first from the prohibited behavior. So, b'yerech hischila b'avera, she sinned with the thigh first. That's probably the first part of her body that touches the man, is her thigh. Then her stomach is the next part of the body that touches the man. Lefikach, therefore, when she is punished by the water, tilka hayerech tchila, the thigh is hit first, v'acharkach habeten, and then comes the stomach.
Let's look. How is the thigh hit first?
The what?
When she drinks the water.
Look at the pasuk. I've showed the note. Look below now. The kohen therefore curses her and says, when Hashem causes your thigh to collapse and your stomach to distend, beginning the curse with the thigh and then with the belly. Okay, and that doesn't have to be that way. It's all a mysterious death. The mysterious death causes, if the body is doing that, it's the way God wants it to be. He could have done the belly first. Really, if you think about it, it should be the belly first, because yeah. I guess you drink the water, it first goes into the belly.
Right.
But God is saying, no, God is miraculously causing her death, that the thigh is affected first, and then the belly, because when she behaved in an adulterous fashion, the thigh is the part that derives pleasure first before the belly.
I'm going to sota, after knowing that you live in a world where that magic brew is going to kill you, not say, I did it. I just can't even imagine that.
Because she may suspect that the husband was not a good guy either, and then the waters won't work.
Oh, wow.
That's one of the things. Or some people would rather die than confess. You know, if you confess, you live with the shame. Everyone goes, oh! You know, remember, this used to be a moral world. Now, nobody cares. Everybody say, I admit, and now I'm running for president, you know, and they'll get elected. Okay? But in those days, people were very ashamed to do it. Even you did the Avera, but you didn't want it to be known publicly. So it's very so someone would rather die than be humiliated. Well, you know, in 1929, there are men who jumped off of roofs and killed themselves rather than live as poor people. Right? So she'd rather die than be public. The coin's trying to prevent her from doing that. But that could happen. Now what about the rest of the body? Vishar kol haguf lo palat. And the rest of the body does not escape either. Because ultimately the entire body benefited from that. And then after the thigh and the stomach, then the entire body is stricken by those waters. And that's the measure for measure in the very same order she derived pleasure. That's the same order that she is suffering. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara now says the following. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now elaborates on this principle of Mida Keneged Mida. Af al gav de Mida Betela, even though the measure. Now we're talking about the four types of capital punishments that happen in Jewish law that only are administered when there's a Sanhedrin that's operating. So we say, even though the measure for measure punishment in the courts, that's what he's going to mean in a second, even though the measure for measure has ceased to exist, and those four specific deaths are not administered, still, b'mida lo mato, but the according to the measure, like our Mishnah says, has not ceased, and we'll see in a minute. In other words, even though the court can't administer it, God will make sure that it happens anyway. To Omer Rav Yosef, for Rav Yosef says, v'chein toni Rav Chiya, and so Rav Chiya also taught in a braisa the following. Miyom shechara Beis HaMikdash, from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and there's no Sanhedrin to administer these four punishments. Af al pi shabbat la Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin has ceased to exist and to function, arba misas lo batlu, the four death penalties have not been nullified. The Gemara erroneously thinks it means that they still were administrating this punishment. I know that can't be. Vahal Batl, they weren't administrated. How did he say that? Says, I didn't mean that they're administrated by the Bezdin. Eladin Arba Mises Lobatl, but the reality of the four death penalties hasn't ceased. What do I mean? The following. Mishin Ischayev Skila. Let's say a person did a punishment that deserves Skila. Let's say Chilul Shabbos gets the punishment of Skila. Okay, there's no Bezdin anymore. We cannot stone the person for that. A man and woman act in an adulterous fashion, publicly, with witnesses, okay? Not the Sota case. They are stoned, okay? So now, we don't stone people anymore, but you think you get away from getting stoned? So either the fine will happen, there'll be accidents happen in life that will be divinely ordained, which would be such example, oh, no, for me not God. Let's say the guy falls off a roof. That is what stoning was. First, they pushed the guy off of a high area, and that would crush his body. And if he died, yes. If not, they threw stones at him. Or, here's an interesting example. Ochaya dorasto, or a wild beast, will trample all over him. Okay, so that's the same thing. You're being stoned. You ever see those old westerns when the guy would get caught in a stampede? Right? Like there's hundreds of bulls and the guy stalked in there and they just stamp all over him. That's like stoning, because that's what stoning is. It's known as a hoof or a rock. So that's what happens. Mishin Yisrael Shreif, what if a person deserved the punishment of being burnt, which meant that there was molten lead was poured down the throat of the person. So now, oh, neifel bedleke, either he falls into a fire, he gets burnt, chas v'sholom, or nachash machish, or a snake bites him because the venom burns inside of him and kills him that way. Mishin ischayev hariga, someone who was deserving of the death penalty of beheading, this came before ISIS, where the person would be killed. Oh, nimser lamachas, either he's given over to the authorities, to the secular Roman government, let's say, Olistin, or bandits come, and they kill him with a sword the same way, so that's going to happen. Amish and Ischayev Chanika, the person who's deserving the death of strangulation, where we take the streak, the ropes and strangle on both sides. So how do you stop the breathing that way? O Tovea Banor, or either he's going to drown in the river, Omeis Be Sironki, he'll die with the disease of Sironki, which English calls it Quincy. The only Quincy I know was a television show long ago. Quincy.
But spelled differently.
But, yeah, this disease can so constrict the throat that the person cannot breathe, and death by suffocation is the result. So a suffocating type of death. Fine. So we see that now the four deaths are very much applicable. Tanya was taught in a brisa. We'll continue to elaborate on this theme. Hoya Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Yudanasi used to say, Minayin sheh b'mida sh'ada modeh bo modedim below. So we've said this rule already for the last 15 minutes, that the way a person behaves, that's how Hashem treats him. Then there's got to be some kind of biblical source to this. I mean, it's true, but everything has to be sourced either in the Torah or the Navi or something. What are the words in the Torah that hint to this fact? All right? So from where do we see this rule that the heavenly tribunal still exacts punishments? Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Isaiah, it's talking about when it was necessary to punish the Jewish people and to send her away. So God will do a number of things that are measure for measure. And the Pasuk says, Bisas o bishalcha to rivena. Okay? Bisasa with a precise measure. That's bisasa. Bishalcha, you shall contend with her. That's to rivena. To rivena means you will contend with her. Bishalcha when you send her away. So Hashem will contend with her. Bisasa. Now sasa comes from the word you know, a saw. A saw is a measurement. It's one of the rabbinic measurements. It's a dry measure of a certain amount of kavim is a saw. So you see, that's a word of measurement. So when Hashem will have to contend with us to rivena, when Hashem has to contend with her and send her away, how does he do it? Bisasa with a measurement, with a certain measure. That's how God contends. And it's a fairly large measurement. A saw is a large measure. It's almost saying, you know, Hashem will contend with you with a pound of judgment. A cubic liter of judgment. That's the way we would contemporarily understand it.
How big is a saw?
It's pretty big. It's big.
Like a ton?
Not a ton, but I don't remember exactly. It's got a lot of kavim. It's a pretty big measurement. So now, Ainli Ella saw. So I might think God only, you know, punishes us when it's time for... Oh, here it is. Got it for you here. A saw is equivalent volume of 144 eggs.
Okay.
So you figure you've got a dozen eggs. So take 12 dozen eggs. Buy 12 dozen eggs. It'll probably be about yay high, I think. Right, that's about 12 dozen eggs. So that's a big chunk. So I might think God only punishes us measure when it's a lot. Because I did a lot of sins. Whoa, now it's time. What do we do, an itsy bitsy sin? It's too little for him to deal with. Right? Minayin l'rab is tarkov. How do we include a tarkov? Tarkov is a half of a saw. 6 dozen eggs. Or v'chatzi tarkov. Or a half of a tarkov, which is 3 dozen eggs. Or how about even a kav, which is even less than that? Or how about a chatzi kav, or a half a kav? We're getting kind of small now. Or rova, or a quarter of a kav. Or v'chatzi rova, and half of a rova. Okay, we're getting small and small and small, right? Okay, how am I going to know that, right? And tomen, and from where do I know that yet smaller infractions that are represented by a tomen, these are really small measures, okay? And an uchla, which is even a smaller measure. We're getting really small now. So, Minayin, how do you know you get punished measure for measure? That's got to be a really small punishment. You ain't getting burnt in a fire. Let's say you did a real little sin. A little sin. Even the little sin. Yeah, now you get a little paper cut. How do you know God bothers with the little minor things, you know? Same thing, you know, with traffic law, the cops aren't pulling you over if you're going 41 in a 40 area. They're just not going to. You have to go at least 50, let's say, because that's already a saw. That's pretty big, whatever. So how do we know this? Talmud Leimer, the Pasuk says in Isaiah, Ki chol se'on so'ein berash. For every measure is measured with noise. Okay? The word ki chol, for all. Every includes even smaller indiscretions. Okay? So this is all on the negative side. See, we see now negative. You do big things, you get big punishments. Small itty bitty punishment sins, you get itty bitty punishments. Now let's reverse it. How about good things now? How about if every day you go to shul, every day you put a nickel in the pushka? Now that's not really a lot of money. Nickel isn't considered money anymore. Every day you put a nickel for 70 years of your life. So now, uminayin shekol prutu pruta mitztarefes l'cheshbin gadol. From where to know that every pruta, pruta is the smallest amount of coinage, adds up for a great amount. Or really it could be negative and positive. Here it's really using it as positive. In other words, they're saying like this. Even though you don't get punished the first time, you don't get punished the second time, doesn't mean it's ignored. You do a little avera. Every day do a little avera. You know, let's say, for example, you don't wash your hands properly. You know, the proper way to wash your hands is till the wrists. It's very interesting. You know, I've had a lot of guests over Yom. If I don't say anything, most people don't wash their hands properly. Well, when you're washing for bread, till the wrists. Till the wrists, twice. And some people just, you know, like dab it in there, you know. So it's a little pruta, you know, what's a big deal? Now, that's not going to punish you the first time you do it, the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the tenth time. But it adds up. So that's what he's saying. Such a sin is referred to as a pruta, because a pruta is the smallest denomination of coins, right? It's the smallest act to be considered a sin. How do you know that eventually they add up? Talmud Leimar, the Pasuk says, Achas, Le'achas Limtzocheshben. It says adding one to another. It's in Koelis, we're going to lean on Shabbos or by yourself, whatever. Adding one to another to determine the amount. Okay, now let's bring this all back to a sota. So far it's the negative. We will get the positive one day, but these are the negatives. So don't think, well, it's just a small affair and Hashem hasn't punished me. That's right, he's waiting. He's waiting till it adds up to be enough to really get you there. They talk about, for example, the rabbis talk very much about not saying Hashem's name properly. Sing Hashem's name in vain. People swear, you know, they say, oh blank, oh blank, oh blank, right? All these things. It's not such a big aver, but it adds up. And they become huge, huge averis. V'chein matzinu b'sota. So we find by a sota as well. Now we finally go in the Gemara back and apply it to a sota. B'mida shemadada, the measure through which she measured sinfully. But in her, madadula, they measure for him. Here's a number of examples. He amdal pesach besa liros lo. She stood at the door of the house to be seen by the adulterer. Lafikach, therefore, coin mamidal sharnikanar umareu kolona lakol. Therefore, the coin will stand her up at the nikanar gate in the Beis Hamikdash and will reveal her shame to everybody. He porsala sudri noin al rosha. She would put attractive handkerchiefs on her head to attract the man. Lafikach, therefore, kohen. Therefore the kohen will take the veil off her head and place it at her feet, which is very shameful for her. He kashtal upon her. She tried to make her face beautiful. Going up to the next page. Lafikach, therefore, going up to 9a. Therefore, poneha, when she drinks the water, poneha morikos, her face becomes shallow.
Sallow,
like green. Okay, look what it says, that she hardly finished drinking the sota waters, her face becomes sallow, and her eyes bulge. All right, anyway, her face doesn't look too good. He kichalala, and now she went and painted up her eyes to look beautiful, right? Lafika, what happens when she drinks the water? They have boltos, her eyes bulge. It's also part of the death.
After drinking.
Yep. He kalala sara. She braided her hair to look pretty. Lafika koin sosisar. Therefore, the koin unbraids her hair. He haresaloba esva. She motions him with her finger to come to him. Lafika tziporna noshas. Therefore, her fingernails fall off when she drinks the water. He chagrala betzil. So she girded herself with a belt that was a beautiful looking belt. We already had this in the other Mishnah. Lafika koin mevi chevo mitzvah. Therefore, the koin brings that rope of a palm branches to keep her dress from falling down, which is a very ugly type of thing. For kosher lo lamavidan, he covers it above her chest. He pashtala es yerecha. She stretched out her thigh for him to sin. Lafikach yerecha no fellas. Therefore, her thigh collapses. He kabal so al kresa. She accepted him upon her stomach. Lafikach bit natsava. Therefore, his stomach distends. He hechilaso madaneon. She gave the guy all kinds of delicacies for a fancy dinner. Lafika, therefore, her korban, her meal that she gives God, is machal behema, is made out of barley. It's the only barley offering besides the regular barley offering, which is animal food. He ishkaso yayin mishubach bekosas mishubachim. She gave him fancy wine and fancy glasses. Lafika koi mashke mayim amorim bimikeda shocheris. Therefore, the kohen gives her bitter water to drink in earthenware fire pot, which is a repugnant vessel. He also subesesa. She behaved in a hidden way. The act was done in seclusion. So yoshev besesa elyon. Sampa upon him, the one who sits in seclusion, meaning Hashem, Sampa, now he turns his attention to her. Meaning Hashem, who's hidden, takes care of her. In other words, God takes the time to punish her. The Yoshev Seser, Hashem's called the hidden one. So she acted in hidden, so the hidden one will deal with her. Shenemar, how do we know this? The Pasuk says, Ve'ein Noef Shamra Neshef Lemor. As it says, the adulterer's eye awaits the night, saying, Lo Sishiradi Ayin, no eye will see me. That's what you think. But really, the one who sees, the all-seeing eye, will take care of you. Dover Acher, another interpret point is made. He, Asa Sabasesa, she acted in seclusion. Hamokom Pirsum Abagoli. Hashem reveals it publicly. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in Mishle, Tikaseh Sina B'mashon, as it is stated, the one who covers something hated by God, her evil will be revealed in front of the congregation. So now we have two psukim telling us that Shem's doing this. So the question, why do we need two psukim? So now since the price derives it from one to another to find the amount, right? Now we're going back. So we ended the brisa. The brisa is over. You know what? Since the brisa is over, good place to stop. Okay, we're going to continue here tomorrow. We're going to analyze all these statements of the brisa.